My name is Michael Brady, and I am from Partners for Karmic Freedom. And I am here today on April 9th of 2023 to do another version, another edition of Michael's Mission, my podcast name. And my theme today is going to be abundance. And it's Easter Sunday for anybody who is an Easter believer. Happy Easter. Happy spring for anyone who's coming from other directions. It is the time of awakening, the time of getting ready for the growth of ourselves in the world. And I think it's a very appropriate time to be talking about abundance. Yeah, I woke up with it on my mind today, and I just listened to a podcast by Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's a big fan of. He comes at creating reality from a scientific point of view. I come from it from a karmic point of view, but we both believe in the same thing, that we are literally creating our reality. He talks about it in a different language set than I do, but we really share a lot in common with what we think it is and how it works and how to achieve it. So there are many ways to heaven. There are many ways to the truth. Always eventually lead to the truth. Everything is the truth in the end. That's a little profound. If that bounced off your wall, just sweep it aside for now. I can be reached at karmicfreedom.com. That's my website. It's in reconstruction. It doesn't look like any different yet, but it will be changing abruptly. We're in the back rooms working on things, restructuring the presentation of Partners for Karmic Freedom through karmicfreedom.com. As I move forward with my soulmate and partner, Linda Brady, having crossed over, she's deceased, she passed away this January 24th, and she's now in heaven. She's on the other side. She's joined with her soul. She's happy. She's content. She's paying attention to me and other people back here. I'm aware of her. Other people are aware of her. And she's doing what she wants to do now. So she's in a great place. And here we are. And I want to talk about abundance today. First thing I want to say is this. 15 years ago, I lived in Vermont. And I lived in a house in Vermont that I designed. I spent 2 years back in the mid-90s, thinking about building a house and drawing, playing with graph paper. I'm not an architect. I'm playing with graph paper and drawing out spatial room designs and how they connected and what we go where and, you know, all that good stuff. And reading a lot about how homes were constructed. I wanted to build something off the grid, alternative, solar, yada, yada, yada. I spent 2 years thinking about that, drawing on paper. And then I engaged an architect and an engineer in Vermont, and I drew up plans for a house that was pretty futuristic in that sense. It was a lot of glass. It faced south. It had state-of-the-art passive active solar in it. And I created a version of that house. As it turned out, I dreamed a house that was worth $200,000, and I couldn't afford to build one that size. So it got scaled down to half the size, which was an interesting thing because it moved some things around. Like I had an outdoor window, crank open window in my mudroom, because in the original design, it was outside the building. It ended up in the mudroom. But at any rate, I ended up with this personal custom designed house that I had built. Only thing I've ever done around house building that was my own. I didn't build it myself, but I thought it up. and had it built, and thought I would retire there, thought I'd die there, thought I'd at 92 years old, when the house was built, I was saying that at 92 years old, you know, my idea of the end of a great life would be to ski out of my body at 92 on a beautiful day up on Jay Peak, which was 20 minutes from my house in Vermont, and had that dream all those years that I was owned that house, and I lived in Vermont, and I lived in Vermont for close to 10 years full time, and owned the house up there for close to 20. And I don't live there anymore. I live in Florida. So way back when I lived in Vermont, around 20, I had to slow down and use a calculator and think about my calendar to come up with these years, keep them straight. 15 years ago, around 2012, I woke up one day in my house in Vermont, and I came out to breakfast to Linda, and I said to her, "Honey, are we having enough fun yet?" And she looked at me, and she said, "Well, no," something like that. And I said, "Right, well, I woke up this morning, and I was in a meditational state after I woke up, and I just really clearly got in touch with, I am not okay with this. We work all the time. We create workshops and retreats, and we endeavor to make those things a success, and they are for the people we serve. But the money part of that, we always get what we need. We rarely get as much as we wanted in the first place, or we dreamed about, or we imagined. And we're always worrying about the pressure of making money to keep things afloat. And we did that for years and years and years. And that was what was on my mind. I said, I don't care what we do. I woke up and I was crystal clear. I mean, my head and my heart. My emotional sense and my idea was, I just want a life that works. And I am prepared for that life to look like anything. We could open it. I said to her, we can open a diner for all I care. Never do another day's work in karmic astrology or counseling people. We could just sell food, because my father had a food service business on the side when I was a kid. I was involved in catering. I know how to get around in a kitchen. I can cook a little bit. I could manage that kind of business. Wouldn't be a problem. I said, so even if it was just that, I don't care. I'm telling you, I don't care what we do. I just want our life to work. And she looked at me and came to agreement internally. She like settled inside. I could see it in her. And she said, okay, I'm on board with that, or like I want that too. And our life started evolving from that moment serendipitously. That is, you have to think of things and take actions, and then you pay attention to the feedback the world gives you, because your God, soul, or the universe will guide you to what will really make you happy versus what you think will make you happy. That's the principle of serendipity in a nutshell. And serendipitously, we left Vermont. We came to Florida over the years and transplanted ourselves. I let go of that whole mindset, that whole reality of how I was going to spend the end of my life, the rest of my life in Vermont, in that house, in my shoe, my custom shoe that I fit, that fit my foot better than any other shoe could fit. Gave all that up. We came to Florida. That was a process of serendipitous events that occurred along the way. But they were anchored to that day, because we both came together and were congruent in our thinking and our feeling, our head and our heart, which is the wholeness of our minds. Most of our culture only deals with half our minds, only deals with the mental part of it, doesn't deal with the heart center, which is another brain, and doesn't deal with emotions, which is the language of the heart center, whereas thinking is the language of the brain, of the mind, up in your head. And then Linda passed abruptly in January. You all know that. If you're just starting along, you'll have to play back some earlier podcasts to catch up here. Linda died in January, and that ended that phase of our life, a life that works. Our life was working when she died. It wasn't abundant. It was working. Before I made that declaration 15 years ago, our life was surviving, really, is what it was doing. So we upgraded from survival to it working. And I've woke up recently in the last month or so of my life as I've came out of the grieving pit the first month after Linda died, with another clarity, another declaration, which is appropriate. I need to. It's time for me to create a new existence, a new track, a new goal, a new frame, a new meaning even in my life without my soulmate, my partner, Linda. And at the same time to carry forth our work, because I definitely don't want to do anything but the work that we've done in this life or I've done in this life with her. And I love it when I fuzz out in the middle of a thought process. I woke up with this new mantra, and the mantra was, I want my life to be healed. I want to be healed in my life. That's over the top. It's not a complete absolute, but over the top of the hill, healed. And I hover there. I've been hovering there for years, okay? I'd like to get further down the other side and just keep going now with healing myself in this life. And I want a life that is expansive and prosperous. That's what I woke up with. And I've been sitting with that and meditating on that and stewing on that for a couple of weeks now, maybe 3 weeks now. And that's very counter to a part of me that wakes up every morning, can wake up every morning, scared. And if I'm scared, I'm certainly not in that lifestyle, am I? I'm worried about something. I'm anxious about something. I lack something. Probably. Well, yeah, all that shit's true. So I'm countering this older part of me. And I'll call that older part of me the Piscean part of me, because if you look at the last 2,000 years of our life, and indeed if you look at our entire recorded history that you can get a handle on about us as a human species here, we've lived our entire lifetimes here, in deprivation, in fear of not having enough, wanting more, needing more, and everything that goes on with human beings is really based around that lack of enough and everything that springs from that. Greed, avarice, hostility, hatred, all of it comes from lack, doesn't it? Really? And now, I'm not talking physical lack right now. I'm talking emotional lack, spiritual lack. There's a great song by the Hollies called "The Air That I Breathe," and it's about sex, obviously, and love, but sex. And in the song, the guy is basically saying that sometimes after I've had really great sex, I don't need anything. The other side of that coin and expression is, I am completely filled up with everything that I need or I want. And the tagline, all I need is the air that I breathe. And I've always loved that song. It's by the Hollies, if I remember correctly. Well, we haven't lived in fullness, wholeness yet. And I think we're just arriving. We are arriving. We have arrived at that moment in our evolution, not just this lifetime, but across lifetimes, of the end of our childhood, which is also another state that has lack in it and everything that goes along with it, and the beginning of our spiritual cosmic adulthood. The rest of our incarnations, forever and ever, whatever that means, will be in our adulthood. This is a singular incarnation, a singular lifetime that we are having on this planet right now, whether we know it or not. Not a cyclical, repeatable age of Aquarius, but a unique age of Aquarius, because it is the one and only transition from ending our childhood, which the last age was Pisces. The last age of the age of childhood was the age of Pisces. The last one we just went through, we've had a number of ages around the wheel since we've been on this planet, plane as a species. And the beginning of this age of Aquarius as the beginning of our adulthood, our spiritual adulthood. And abundance goes with that transition, I think, very nicely. Makes logical sense. I mean, adults are wholly developed. They have all their assets. They have all the freedom, all the capability, all the autonomy. These are definitions of what adulthood is, to go and do whatever they want in the world. Well, I think spiritually that's exactly what we're at, that critical point. And Linda was like Moses in the Old Testament in this lifetime. She led her people, the people listening to me, the people who are interested in karmic astrology, the people who are part of our Aquarian family, our Aquarian tribe, our Aquarian nation, I don't know what to call it anymore, because it encompasses people not just locally, not just in the United States, but even internationally at this point. She led us from bondage, from the age of Pisces, or Egypt, to the promised land, which in the Bible was Israel, what is now called Israel. And did you know that in that Bible story, Moses led, the Jews wandered for 40 years through the desert between Egypt and Jordan, or Israel, or the promised land. And when they got to the River Jordan, and they crossed it, they literally arrived, finally, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, in the promised land. Well, Linda led us, I was with Linda for around 41 years, 41 to 42 years, depending on how you calculate our time together. We wandered together for the last 40 years toward the promised land, the age of Aquarius, and we were helping people, we've been helping people make that journey. And when Linda died, when she passed, I think that was the marker of our group, our tribe, our Aquarian people, her and me and you all, arriving at the River Jordan. And we all crossed. We're on the other side now. We're in the promised land. We're not wandering anymore. We've landed. We're in the new land, which I'll call the Age of Aquarius. Both feet dry on the other side of the river here. We left Linda on the other side, though. She didn't cross with us. Either God didn't allow her, or she didn't want to, or she didn't need to, but she didn't cross with us. She went somewhere else. She stayed there. She stayed in the age of Pisces, if you will, you see. She did her job. Her mission were here clearly in hindsight, spiritually, from her chart and my chart and understanding karma and astrology. Her mission was to bring us all out of bondage, out of the stuckness of the age of Pisces, and to introduce us, to guide us toward the age of Aquarius. And for the 40 years or so, we've been traveling with her, and she's been helping and supporting and guiding us. And she accomplished her job, and she moved on to her greater reward. That's the way I really feel and see things as I look back now. And you and I, all of us, are in the promised land now. For the rest of our life, we're in the promised land. So it's a new land, and we have to build a town. We have to build a city. We have to form communities. We have to build families. We have to create a civilization, a new civilization, which is really what I think the Age of Aquarius, this Age of Aquarius, is about. And one of the things it includes is abundance. So my mantra for myself, and I'm sure I'm going to be preaching, teaching, helping, coaching people with this for the rest of my life that I serve, that I work with. Healing, expansion, abundance. Healing, expansion, abundance. So that's my spiel. So ask yourself, how do you want to spend the rest of your life? Wherever you are. I don't care if you're, and I have clients right now who are range from 23 years old, 22 years old, 20 years old, sometimes even teenagers, to old people like me. I'm 72. people who are mature, somewhere in the later half of their journey. You might want to ask yourself that. Where am I at in my journey? Do you think about your whole journey? Do you think about the time you've got left here? I started to think about it when I was in my 30s. I was saying when I was 35, I was saying to people I wanted to live until I was 92 and have a great love-making session the night before I died and skid on my body the next day. On a nice day up in JP. I said that for years, okay? That's not my current version of how I want to cross over or how I want to experience the end of my life. I'm revamping that too in the process of that. Are you thinking about that? Regardless of what age you're at, you should. A life should have a containership. As soon as possible, we should have a purpose. We should have a goal. Our life should mean something to us in some way other than the mundane. It's important to believe in something more than ourselves. My greatest woe at this point in life is that our science, our body of knowledge called science, is based on not agnosticism, but atheism. Agnosticism is, an agnostic is a person that has no belief in gods at all, zero. Doesn't even think of the word God. An atheist is a person who rejects God, which means you have to believe in God. You have to know what the word means first before you say, I don't like that. I don't want that. We live in a time where science currently is atheistic. It is anti-God. And it is that way because it was formed that way foundationally. Science emerged in the Age of Enlightenment as a reaction to the fact that the Roman Catholic faith, in the Western world at least, was the world's superpower. And I don't mean that spiritually, I mean that physically. Like the United States supposedly is the world's superpower today. And science was created as a reaction, a rejection of that version of spirituality explaining what the nature of reality is. What is? So it was formulated in atheism, basically. Currently, I believe that science is composed of a group of scientists who are mathematicians that have an opinion. And you know what? If you put 10 people in a room, you'll get 10 different opinions, 10 different versions of the same opinion, or 10 different versions of different opinions. Any 10 people. Science isn't any different than anything else, or a group of scientists is any different than any other group of people. What we have in this world are opinions, really. And science really is a body of opinions. It's based on measurement, but if you look at measurement and you look at quantum mechanics, quantum science today in the world, if you understand anything about that, you would know that the physical world is not objectively measurable. It's qualitatively measurable. I had to discriminate between quality and quantity there. It's quantitatively measurable. It's not qualitatively measurable. And even the quantity is not really objective. It's just agreed upon. What the number means, how big the number is, how big the space is, how big the length is, which is what measurement is about. Anyway, abundance is what we're about now. And to be abundant, we have to let go of our fear. We have to let go of our deprivation. We have to let go of all the old truth that we've lived in and believed in. And that's not easy. That's difficult because it requires consciousness. It requires self-awareness. We have to want to change before things do change. And what I wanted to talk about today or bring up was that issue for you all. I want you to tune in to your life. Whatever level your life is expressing itself at, whether you're a CEO with a company or you're retired or you're a housewife or you're 31 years old and just getting your life going, or you're in your 20s and hoping to get your life going, doesn't matter where you're at, really. A life needs to have meaning, and to have meaning, we have to become self-aware, and to be self-aware, we have to tune into ourselves. So we have to have the courage and the interest and the desire and the passion to look at ourselves, whatever that entails. And of course, that's going to entail not just stuff we like about ourselves, is it? So think about what makes you happy. Write some of that down. Ask yourself how you see your life unfolding in the next year, then the next 3 years, then the next 5 years, then the next 10 years. If you're young, 10 years is a big chunk. You could probably stop there. If you're over 50% of your life cycle, you can determine what year that turns out to be for yourself. I'm 72. I saw myself topping the hill physically with my body at 50. So 100 would be exactly 100%. I might live to be 100 years old. I was gaming at 92 in my 30s. I'm aiming at around 100 now. That's fine. Anywhere in the 90s would be good. I'd like to milk as much as I can while I'm here in the body, especially if I'm having the better time of my life, the longer I live. Let's stretch that part out, baby. Think about your frame. And if you're in the 50% plus part of your life, think about the end of your frame. I am, at this point, having my partner just crossed over, I'm very immediately, sensorily feeling the rest of my containership. It was not as much a sensory experience. It had more of an idea set to it because I don't live in my body. I don't feel 72 years old through my body, and I don't get up every morning and ever think that I'm 72. I get up and feel like I'm 40, 45, 50, I don't know, 30 sometimes. I don't feel on the second half, the second 50% of my life cycle. I feel like I'm in the first half of my life cycle internally. I live in myself in that stage of life, energetically, spiritually, inside myself. And so every morning I walk in the bathroom, see myself in the mirror, sort of like a, oh, I have to catch up with the fact that my body doesn't match with the way I feel about myself when I get out of bed in the morning, kind of thing. Anyway, start asking yourself those kind of questions and just be honest about what comes out of you, and write some stuff down, journal. Okay, I got 6 journals going right now. I'm journaling more now than I ever have in my entire life since Linda crossed over. And see what wants to come out of you. What if you're like me, what's going to come out of you is this old childhood Piscean stuff, the state the world lives in right now, more than half the world lives in right now, which is fear and anger and deprivation and competition and greed and apathy. Apathy is a big, big deal. A lot of people don't get much out of their life, even if they have very cushy lives these days. Think about your frame and identify what you wake up with. What's your attitude every day? Are you a positive attitude person or a negative attitude person? That's a good way to just start. What flavor does that attitude tend to take most of the time? Are you a sad person, a scared person, a mad person, a guilty person, which is a distortion of shame in my opinion? And notice what your commentary is about that. Like, well, I feel that way because this person did that, that happened to me, this is what's wrong, it is what's wrong. Not I'm wrong, it's wrong. That's all outside in. That's the world creating your reality. Well, the truth is we create the world. We create our own reality in the world. So when we're experiencing it the other way around, backwards like this, it's because we're disconnected with that truth and we're disconnected with ourselves in ways. And then we're lost in a bunch of negative creation, oh God, that we're doing to ourselves. And we've been doing that to ourselves forever. We're just arriving at a state of maturation where it is possible, it is plausible, it is functionally something we can do now. We can be grown-ups. We can be autonomous. The universe and the planet Earth, and we as a species on the planet Earth, a part of the universe, we are also in the same developmental stage in our macrocosm. Of our microcosm of the macrocosm of the universe. And we're all here at the same time, and the universe is here at the same time, and it's time for everything to go through some really radical growth and change. And that's why all this pressure is going on in our lives and inside and outside, because that's what happens. I mean, just have a look at childbirth, human childbirth, or an animal for that matter, but people. It's messy. It ain't fun. The person who's responsible for creating a new life is definitely not having a good time while the birthing goes on. Once the birthing has occurred, though, everything changes, doesn't it? Everybody's happy. Everybody's exuberant. Everybody's joyous because there's something brand new in the world. Well, that's us in this case. We're in that moment of cosmic birth. And we've just come out the chute, so to speak. And it's time for us to look around, pay attention, and get to work creating a better life for ourselves, a better life for the people we love. And then as that spreads out to neighborhoods, cities, states, countries, the world, people on the planet. That's what I think it's all about currently these days. So you got to be willing to dig into yourself. That's what I'm saying. And when you dig into yourself, you're going to dig into stuff that doesn't feel good and you don't like first before you can get out of the woods into the clearing, so to speak. And I woke up with that on my mind today. And after I had my coffee and I took the dogs out, I came back and felt this like this urge, like I got to go to work. I've got to do something productive today. And then I was like, no, it's Sunday. It's Easter. Oh, the hell with that. So I settled into just myself. And the first thing I did was get tired. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just go screw off. I'll just rest. But then I sat down and I started to just rest and I wanted to do something. So I turned on the YouTube and or my television and I tuned into Joe Dispenza. If you're not aware of him, go look him up on YouTube. Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza. Whole slew of stuff there. He and I are simpatico. He and I have the same philosophy. We think from different angles about things pretty much the same way. And so I settled into absorbing some inspiration for myself, from somebody else outside of myself, from him. And I took in a few of his talks, his YouTubes, and then I came in internally in myself and re-engineered myself, worked on re-engineering myself, rebuilding myself, healing, expanding, and prospering. I worked on those themes inside myself. And then I came in here and talked to you guys about it. So that's my thing for this week, abundance. Think about abundance. It's time for all of us to create abundance as we move forward in our lives on the planet Earth. The trick is, how do you do it? Well, if you really know that you create your own reality, it works from the inside out, not the outside in. The world won't give you abundance and then you get to feel abundant. You need to feel abundant in order to manifest, create it coming back at you in a material way in this life from the world. And that's tricky, isn't it? I mean, if you really hear what I'm saying, a lot of times, a lot of you might be going, so how do I do that? Isn't that the journey, how to do that? Well, I'm figuring it out. Joe's figuring it out. The word's getting around. Pay attention to it. Dig into it. Seek support. Seek knowledge. Seek guidance. Seek information. Seek coaching. Support through your own transitions. You'll get there. No one ever does anything on the earth plane. Spiritually speaking, we come here to learn about loving ourselves and each other. No one ever does anything here by themselves completely. That's not what this is designed as. It's designed to be a shared experience with at least one other person or one other soul. And of course, it's many more than one person and many more souls than one soul that we came here to share with and be shared on. So that's my speech for this week. I hope you have a good week, a happy Easter, a happy springtime. I hope this is a time of renewal and new growth for all of us. So until I talk again, this is Michael Brady. This is Michael's mission, and this is part of Partners for Karmic Freedom. Have a good day. Thank you.